Heaven's messages are warning that the struggle is now at the gates of the church, and not to trust the powerful of the world. That next on Countdown to the Kingdom. Hello, I'm Mark Mallett from thenowword.com and Countdown to the Kingdom. Again, joining me to discuss the powerful messages of this past week from seers all over the world is Professor Daniel O'Connor from Albany, New York. Daniel, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back on the show, Mark, and it's good to see that you are alive. I was terrified when I checked your weather for. I mean, here I'm feeling a little bad for myself now because I'm sitting here in my RV and it's a little bit chilly, but it's like summertime here in New York compared to what you're dealing with in Canada now, right?
Yes, we hit a cold stretch. I looked at the forecast last night, and this is not a lie. Look at that, minus 40 is what the forecast was last night, and that's without the wind chill. So the wind chill, I think, brought it to well over minus 50. And the rest of the forecast for the rest of the week is in the minus 30s. So you know, global warming is alive and well here in Canada.
Yeah, do your part. You know, run your car a little extra. Mark really needs your help with a little more global warming up there. Please. And in case you're thinking, oh, well, it's negative 40 Celsius. At least it's not negative 40 Fahrenheit. That's actually the same. That's the one temperature that both Celsius and Fahrenheit intersect at.
That's
so
right. Yeah.
It's that bad. It's that bad. But he's alive. Cold. So we're glad to have you back.
I mean, people ask me, they say, well, and how do you survive? And it's, well, we wear coats and gloves when we're outside. That's how we survive. So anyway, it is cold. Jesus said the love of many will grow cold in those last times because of the increase of evil doing. I guess he meant it literally. So Things are getting a little bit cold out in the world right now, and this is bringing about warnings from heaven. And so this show today, we're going to talk about the past week's messages that are posted on countdowntothekingdom.com, if you're not familiar with our website. And there we're gathering seers who speak different languages, come from different parts of the world, but they're remarkably giving similar messages from heaven. Not always the same, but very similar themes. And you're going to see that once again this week of how there is a warning about world powers and what is emerging in the world right now. So without any delay, Daniel, why don't we turn to the first message that we want to address at least this week, and that is from Gisella Cardia, who is an Italian seer. And the title of this writing is "The Warning Will Expose Everything." So we'll just start here. She says, Our Lady to Gisella, Dear children, thank you for having responded to my call in your hearts. My children, many of you are waiting for the warning as if it were only mercy. But remember, children, it will also be an event that will surgically expose your lives. Daniel, just take a brief moment, very briefly, to explain again to those who don't know what the warning is, what this event is called the warning.
Yeah, very soon, the world is going to experience something that can only be compared to Judgment Day itself. It's going to be a Judgment Day in miniature. The literal Judgment Day at the end of time, of course, will occur, but this will be like a preview of that, where every soul on the face of the planet, miraculously, at the same time, will be shown the state of his soul before God. An illumination of conscience, it's also been called. We will all see our souls as God sees it. And that is going to really hurt for most people, because we're not exactly ready to see God face to face, most of us. Our souls have a lot of cleaning up that needs to be done. And this message is so important because, first of all, Gisella, in other recent messages, Our Lady has warned Gisella, the warning is coming very soon. We don't know the date, but it's coming soon. And that our job now is to prepare for that, because if we are not prepared, this warning is not, it's the greatest act of mercy in history, yes, but it's not just mercy, it's also justice. It will surgically expose our lives. Mm-hmm. So the degree to which we are going to, after the warning, serve as the greatest evangelist in history, and that period of evangelization that will follow the warning, is going to be determined by right now how ready we are for the warning, by our repentance and our striving to pray and sacrifice, become saints, in a word.
And it's a message, really, to not take this warning for granted. And, you know, Barbara Santelli, who allegedly receives messages from the Heavenly Father, she was told by the Father that this will cause an increase in the separation between light and darkness, between those who will embrace Christ and those who will outright reject him. Matthew Kelly, many of you might be familiar with him and his writings on Catholicism, but few might know that he actually received an infusion of knowledge as a young man. He gave many private revelations, and among them he spoke of the warning, again, that this would separate the wicked from those who would receive Christ. So it's the warning Our Lady is saying here again in this message. Don't take it for granted as if it were only mercy. And there's a lot of people right now who are like, oh, I just wish the warning would come. I wish the warning would come. But I don't think they understand also that the warning is going to mark the beginning of the final tribulation. And we believe, according to what the scripture says, what the church father said, and of course what we're hearing now in private revelation, is that this will also probably bring about false prophets and the Antichrist himself with false signs and wonders. So Our Lady is saying, don't fall asleep. Don't look at the warning as if it's only mercy. No, it's going to be an event that will surgically expose people's hearts, and they will choose either light or darkness. And so she continues.
And that example of surgery, you know, it's, I have to just think, I have to assume that that was a well-chosen example by Our Lady, because right. Every surgery has a recovery time. If you are getting a triple bypass heart surgery, you're going to be down for a while. Mm-hmm. And if you're getting just a tooth pulled or something, you can be back to normal pretty soon. But if you are remaining attached to worldly things, if you're living a vain worldly life, if you're committing sins, doing those things, even if you're kind of, quote, on God's side, you know, even if you're basically probably in a state of grace, kind of ready, you're still making the warning a major surgery for your soul that's going to take a lot of recovery time for. But if you really strive to do your absolute best in preparing for it, which is what Our Lady's asking us to do, you'll be ready to get up after the warning hits and work for the salvation of souls. So please do that.
Our Lady continues and says, "My children, I have come among you to put together my little faithful remnant." And so that's a loaded statement, because Our Lady is essentially saying that what is going to be left, what is being prepared, at least at this time, is a remnant, a small flock of believers around the world. And I think if we look at the spiritual state of the world, we can see already those who are clinging fully to the full teachings of the church, who aren't compromising, who are remaining in communion with the Holy Father, who are remaining faithful to Jesus and his teachings and not dancing in a sense with sin. I think that's a very small number. And that is not to say that Daniel and I are sitting here going, well, we're part of the remnant because we're perfect. No, we have confession, and we use confession because we sin. But I'm speaking about those who are choosing mortal sin and remaining in it. So these are serious times, which is why our mother is appearing. But here
to reiterate, as Mark's saying, we're not making any statements about ourselves here. This is not, these messages are not given so that you can just assume you're in the remnant. The point is, only a remnant will make it through. So don't be surprised if the vast majority of people around you are siding with the evil one, are siding with sin and error and heresy and all these diabolical evils that are flooding us. Yes, most will probably join that side. Don't suppose that because most are doing it that there's safety in numbers. There's no safety in numbers with sin and error. You know, God doesn't grade on a curve, is one great phrase right. I once heard. Only a remnant will make it through, so strive your best to be among that remnant.
And so now we come to kind of a theme now that has emerged this weekend, and it continues in this message to Gisella Cardia, where Our Lady says, "Children, pray for the powerful of the earth, that they would not take the path that they have in mind, because my children and their future will depend on their plans. Wars are being programmed." So here is a warning saying to pray for the powerful of the earth. It tells us two things. One is that we can still mitigate what is emerging, but it's also telling us that there is a powerful plan. And if you've been watching Daniel and I and listening to our webcasts or reading our blogs, then you know that we have spoken about this plan has been emerging. The popes have been warning about it for almost 300 years of these groups of secret societies who've been forming a plan throughout the generations. And, you know, I think it's important to say that the conspirator is Satan. It's, you know, if we're talking 300 years, then people who aren't alive who began these conspiracies. But again, their whole idea comes from pride. It's right from the Garden of Eden, where we can be like gods. We can control the world. And that's why Freemasonry, Illuminati, their goal was to overthrow the church and even the political structures of the world to then recreate the world in their own image. And Daniel, this is what we're seeing right now with what is being called, I guess you could call it, it's the Great Reset. And you can see this on our screen right here. Well, this is a recent headline, the Great Reset Plan. And a lot of people think this is conspiracy theory somehow. I've read this recently in some news stories, and these reporters either have their head in the sand or they are actually instruments of propaganda, which it probably is the latter. Because this plan of the Great Reset is being promoted by Boris Johnson of England, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, President Joe Biden, Vice President John Kerry, former Vice President. Who else is there? There's all kinds of top names, Prince Charles, right? And they're promoting this initiative, which is going to be using climate change and the COVID crisis, which have nothing to do in common, to use them to reset the global economy. But again, as we said in the previous webcast, when you get down into the nuts and bolts, it's based on Marxist principles, not on the principles of Catholic social doctrine, which would keep it from becoming a totalitarian state.
Right. And Pope Francis, even, we have to give him credit. In this, he sees the dangers that lie in what direction that this could go in. And, you know, this is about the issue of globalism. We obviously know that globalism is happening. And globalism is not something, as Pope Benedict said, it's not something that we can condemn in and of itself. In and of itself, globalism is neither good nor bad. The question is what is made of it. And this Great Reset is the ultimate, I'm convinced it is the ultimate effort of the nefarious powers that be to take it and to direct globalism towards the New World Order, which we all know is going to be a resurgence of global communism, and it's going to be basically a major aspect of the chastisements that are coming upon this world. Pope Francis, I think he sees that that's a real threat here. Yeah. And you might have a quote there, Mark, as to what he warned, how he warned us against this turning into something that's happened before. There it is, yeah.
Right, that was on January 27th, the 76th anniversary of the liberation of the Nazi extermination camp in Auschwitz. And Pope Francis said that this anniversary means being careful because these things, he said, can happen again, beginning with ideological proposals that claim to save a people and ending by destroying a people and humanity. Be aware, he said, of how this road of death, of extermination, and brutality began. And that's a powerful warning from Pope Francis. I'm happy to see that warning from him because, you know, this is the same Pope who recommended that we read that book by Father Hugh Benson on the Antichrist, Lord of the World. And he warned about this ideological colonization that would happen. And he said we ought to read that book. And here he's saying again that, you know, these things can happen again. And I think that's an apt warning because what are we seeing in the world right now? I mean, so he said, be aware. He said, of how this began, how Nazi Germany began. Well, it began with democracy. And then it went to freedom of speech being eliminated, books burning, censoring, purging of the books. And then it led to segregating the people. And then it led to the extermination of the people. And we are seeing those signs today clearly, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. happening before our eyes. It's frankly slanderous for others, for people to accuse those who point this out of being nothing but fear-mongering conspiracy theorists. As Mark said, these things are being openly promoted by the most mainstream of names out there. And the World Economic Forum is explicitly putting this forward. We know one of the most powerful entities in the world there. It's not a nation or anything, but the whole entities throughout the world take their directions from it. So this is already in the works. It would be wrong to even call this. It's first of all not merely a conspiracy, and it's not a theory, because it's already happening. It's unfolding before our eyes. We are already seeing many of the major tenets of this global communism coming through legislation now. Even I mean, we've got more and more proposals for a universal basic income, for example, which sounds so great on paper, doesn't it? Just give everybody everything they need. There's a name for that, and the name is communism. And what does scripture say about that? Scripture has something to say about this, doesn't it?
Yes.
I don't know the quote in front of me, I'm probably going to botch it, but the gist is very simple. Whoever will not work, let him not eat.
Yeah,
Saint Paul, right? I mean, can you vouch for me, right, Mark? I'm quoting scripture there.
Yeah. Whoever is not doesn't work shouldn't eat. Basically, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, this isn't saying the point isn't that we let people starve. Of course, we need to be very focused on works of mercy, and we've been very sure that we have a preferential option for the poor. That is church teaching, but it's not church teaching that we just throw money out there to everyone and let everyone live off the government dole. That is contrary to our dignity. We are working beings by nature. We were working beings even before the fall. You know, the fall made work difficult, but we have a vocation to work, and it is a contradiction of our dignity to just say no, just let us just let the government take care of you. You don't have to worry about that. So this is communism, and there's no point in theorizing about, I wonder how exactly communism will come about again. I wonder when it'll come about again. It's already come about. It's already happening right in front of our eyes.
You know, Pope Francis isn't the first pontiff to speak about globalization. And in fact, it was John Paul II who wanted to make very clear to the world, to the church, that globalization, he said, a priori, is neither good nor bad. It will be what people make of it. And then Benedict XVI continued in his encyclical, was it or apostolic letter now, Caritas.
I think this is an encyclical. So this is serious. Right. This is a papal encyclical from Pope Benedict quoting a previous magisterial teaching from Pope John Paul II.
And so he continues, Pope Benedict, and he says, we should not be victims of globalization, but rather its protagonists, acting in the light of reason, guided by charity and truth. So when the Holy Father is speaking, Pope Francis, about globalization, echoing some of the language of the United Nations, we shouldn't think automatically this is evil. And frankly, some people are thinking that. But of course, as we've been saying all along, the United Nations, when you get behind the proposals of sustainable development, the Great Reset, building back better, and you get behind this language, what you do find are the roots of Marxist socialist principles. And so that's why, Daniel, some people are pretty disturbed when they hear the Holy Father using language like build back better and these types of things. So this quote that we just quoted from the National Catholic Register of the Pope saying, we have to be careful about how these things can happen again in the world, kind of balances what he's saying.
Right.
But
he wants to assume that people mean the best, and God bless him for that, because we shouldn't go imputing malicious motives wherever we think we can find them. But I think, and I hope I'm not too bold to say this, but I think it's safe to say that he's being a bit naive and assuming that all these rich people in the world just have perfectly benign motives in advocating for this Great Reset, as if they're just going to part with their wealth and power just because it would be a nice idea to do so. They're not going to. If there's one lesson we know from history, and when the rich and powerful get more power, they don't relinquish it. That's not going to happen. It takes era-altering phenomena to change that. They're not just going to say, oh yeah, that'd be nice for me to just kind of give up my power and my wealth. I'm going to go ahead and do that. They're not going to. Right. And all of this addition, they've gotten so much more power and wealth through this coronavirus ordeal through the world's response to it. You know, you can, this has been well documented that the wealth of the wealthiest has actually increased drastically from these lockdowns. And the middle class and the poor right. have suffered tremendously from these lockdowns.
And so,
but also the power of the politicians increased tremendously through these lockdowns and everything.
Right. And so Pope Francis in Fratelli Tutti, he has been calling for, you know, fraternity. And this is language used by Pope Benedict, used by John Paul II. So the word fraternity, brotherhood, the idea that all humans share a common, I was going to say a destination, but I mean a common source, and that's the Creator. So we're all brothers by nature. So when Pope Francis speaks of this imam, who they wrote this, they signed this agreement together to work toward fraternity, it is true. We all come from the same Father in heaven. We are brothers and sisters by nature, but we are not brothers and sisters by spirit. And we can only be regenerated in spirit, saved, that's the word we use, by being regenerated through baptismal waters. And so to the degree that we are not hearing from the Vatican this idea that true fraternity, true justice and peace will not happen without the sacraments, is kind of missing the mark, and we're missing the essential mission of the church, which is to evangelize. If I might go back right to Pius X, and he said in his document, E Supremi, which was all about the restoration of things in Christ, he was actually prophesying this coming justice and peace on earth that the prophet Isaiah and Ezekiel and others in the book of Revelation speak of. And in there, he says, you know, we're well aware, he said, of those yearning for peace, that is, for the tranquility of order, that they band themselves into societies or political parties, which they style as parties of order. And he says, but it is hope and labor lost. As it says in the Psalms, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain.
And Psalm 127,
and St. Pius X goes on to say, this is crucial, there is but one party of order capable of restoring peace in the midst of all this turmoil, and that is the party of God. It is this party, therefore, that we must advance and to it attract as many as possible if we are really urged by the love of peace. So Pius X saying we have to bring people to Christ. We have to bring people to the gospel. Otherwise, there will be no true peace. There will be no true justice. As Jesus said to St. Faustina, mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. And Daniel, this is why I think we heard in a kind of a stunning message this week after you and I talked about secular messianism, which is what I'm speaking about, which is trying to bring justice and peace on earth through political parties and so on. And we talked about how this was even creeping into the right in certain people, even in American politics. A few days after we gave those webcasts, this message comes from Valeria Caponi on February 3rd, who's an Italian seer. And Our Lady says to her, do not trust the great among you, whether they be politicians or lesser figures, you have no need of their vain counsel. Wow, what a strong warning against the political environment today, right now.
Exactly what we needed to hear. I mean, and this is a dose of common sense also. And there's this, and deferring also to the authority of one of our great shepherds today, Bishop Strickland. He put a tweet up on February 5th, and he says, we must be joyfully apostolic. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We must speak his name into the darkness and evil of our age. We can't assume that our leaders, quote, mean well when they deny the truth of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The Roman governor who mutilated and murdered St. Agatha did not mean well. Wow. That was a feast day he tweeted that on.
Yeah.
But we, of course, don't judge anyone. And we pray for everyone. We pray even for all of our leaders, of course. But that doesn't mean we just blindly and naively assume that they mean well right. in everything that they're saying and doing. They might very well not mean well. They might have malicious motives. And even if they don't have malicious motives, they are not grounded in Christ. They are not grounded in his church. So at best, they often have a completely utilitarian notion of the good, of the common good. And we see that conflated today constantly. the common good versus utilitarianism. They're very different. Utilitarianism just adds up all the goods, and it just goes in the direction of wherever that calculation seems to lead. No, the common good requires that the dignity of each human person be considered and never be violated. The utilitarian notion of the good just treats humans like a colony of ants, where the individual ant doesn't matter at all. All that matters is the colony. And we see that it's this utilitarianism that has guided largely the world's response to coronavirus. Forget about individual rights, forget about religious rights, forget about persons, forget about families and what they need. All that matters is that we flatten the curve. That's all that matters. That's right. That's utilitarianism. So at best, many, if not most, if not nearly all of our political leaders are operating under a utilitarian version of the good, but many of them also, sadly, do not will our good at all.
Right.
So we need to get rid of this naive trust in them.
Klaus Schwab, the one running the World Economic Forum, who is organizing, in a sense, he's the guy at the head of the Great Reset, that all of these world leaders are saying, we need to follow this. There's no mention of God, no mention of Christ, no mention of, I think, even of religion. Everything is about transhumanism, the fourth industrial revolution, about the merging of artificial intelligence and man's biology with computers and so on. I mean, this is the Garden of Eden, Daniel. This is, you shall become gods. And now, you know, they're saying we have the technology to upload our brains, to preserve them when our bodies die, and then put your brain again, download it into a new body. I mean, this stuff is crazy, and it's evil.
There's actually a company doing that now. You can, right. they pretend they can download your memories into some hard drive. The only downside is you have to die to do it. So
yeah, I'm trying to erase my memories.
Please don't do it. Yeah, they can't do that. It's a lie. You will die and you'll spend all. But anyway, transhumanism is diabolical, and it can't succeed, by the way, in most of its aims. But it can do enormous harm. So never have anything to do with it. But yes, it's a new lie. Right. And it's perfectly reminiscent of the devil's own lie in the Garden of Eden. And it would only make sense, wouldn't it, for these eschatological conflicts we're in to mirror the garden itself.
And this is probably why our Lord Jesus Christ himself, on February 1st, gave this message to Luz de Maria, who is a Costa Rican seer. And he said, my church is being forcefully invaded by the smoke of Satan, which is becoming more present in her without my children discerning where they are being led. This generation of innovations takes whatever is imposed on it as one more innovation, and thus they are being led along the path of horror, where demonic forces come to persecute them personally. I have warned you of changes within the institution of my church that would lead you away from my truth, and yet you have disregarded my words and those of my mother. Wow. So, Daniel, here's a message echoing what Pope Francis was saying in that article, where he again was warning about the horrors of that road of death, of extermination and brutality that began in Nazi Germany. And now our Lord is saying it again in this message. You are being led down a path of horrors. And, you know, at this point, I want to reiterate what the now word was for me this past year, and many of you who've been reading my columns know that I have been warning about the current slate of these experimental mRNA vaccines. And the warning isn't from me, because I'm not a scientist. I don't study this stuff. But the warning is coming from top scientists around the world who, by the way, are being censored, from warning you and telling you all the animal trials in which these vaccines, these experimental vaccines, were tested on. It killed the animals. And then they went on to skip the animal trials, and now they're giving them to humans now by the millions. And some of you might be going, oh, yeah, but hey, so millions of these vaccines have been out there. People are living. So much for your warning. But here's the thing is, these scientists are warning that these vaccines, months from now or a year from now or whatever, they're saying that these vaccines may interact with wild viruses, with another booster shot, or with other vaccines, And this could lead to catastrophic death, even genocide, is what some of these are saying. This is not my warning. This is coming from scientists, and we're hearing it from all over the world. Again, the whole idea of forcing these vaccines, of the lack of discernment, Daniel, I would even say, and you know, some people are going to get mad at me for this, but even from some of the bishops, the lack of discernment of just simply saying, take them. You know, take this drug injected into your veins from a for-profit big pharma corporation. Just take it because there's no other choice. I don't understand that because you've got now the CDC just approved 2 weeks ago ivermectin, which has a near 100% cure rate, a hydroxychloroquine and zinc now 84% reduction. There's no reason for people to roll the dice. But I don't want to get stuck on that. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, neither are you, but we both think that we ought to be listening to the science because that's what science does. It questions the science. Yeah. It looks into the science. You can't take these things for granted, especially when you're injecting it in your veins and your kid's veins.
Something's going on. You know,
Something's weird.
And something's weird, and I haven't myself come to strong conclusions on it yet either. I still need to do more investigation myself. But if you look at what Mark's saying, and the mere degree of censorship we're seeing, like never before. I mean, we've always assumed that we were allowed to have these discussions in public, and suddenly we're not even allowed to have them. You know, this is right now as I'm saying these words. I have to be careful what I say, otherwise YouTube will go ahead and delete this video also. Right. So I have to be careful here. But it's just something's up if we're not even allowed to talk about this.
Right.
And I'm saying this as one who's open to both sides. I'm not completely sold on the question either way. And yet the fact that they are just discrediting anyone who disagrees with the mainstream narrative, and the fact that COVID itself, for as we've discussed in earlier webcasts, is not particularly serious for someone who's not old and doesn't have comorbidities. Why is this being forced upon us as if it is the final solution? You know, what does that remind you of? As if it is the only solution, as if it is the only thing that can possibly let us get back to normalcy. There is something very dark going on here. And at the very minimum, it is one of the final planks in the laying of the infrastructure of the Antichrist, because the degree of totalitarian control that the Antichrist will need to institute his mark is... we're seeing the infrastructure for that now, the final pieces of it being laid down before our eyes.
But, you know, there is a message. I don't know if I have it queued up that was given about the mark of the beast. But before we discuss that, I just want to say, for a point of discernment, St. Paul said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So you tell me, brothers and sisters, if there's no freedom to discuss the dangers of vaccines, if there's no freedom to discuss, for instance, the validity or you could say, you know, our elections, for instance, in the United States, in my country, if we can't have that discussion about whether they are legal, whether they are safe, whether there's fraud or not, if you can't discuss climate change, which is another thing that's very controversial, many scientists are debating whether man is contributing significantly enough with anthropogenic warming and so on. If we can't have this discussion, that tells you alone the spirit behind those blocking it, that is not a spirit of Christ. It is not a spirit of Christ. Do not be afraid, Jesus said. And if you are inflicting on people fear, you're not allowed to talk about it. You can't talk about it. You can't question this. You can't question masks. You can't question vaccines. Boy, there's something wrong there, Daniel, because, you know, we were told, I don't have the images in front of me, we were told by doctors that smoking was fine. We were told that aspirin was fine, and then we found out it caused bleeding. We were told that the chemicals we use on our pans and frying pans was safe, non-stick cookware. Now we're finding it's causing cancer when it gets to a certain temperature. And I could go on and on with what's in our lipstick, our shampoos, and the toxins around our house, and our pharmaceutical drugs, which, by the way, were killing almost 400,000 people a year. That's what pharmaceutical drugs are doing, according to a Harvard study. 400,000 people dying in Europe and the United States from pharmaceutical drugs. And we don't question Big Pharma. We're not allowed to. We get censored. So anyway, what we're saying is Pope Francis is absolutely right to make that warning about it. And not only him, Cardinal Mueller, Cardinal Raymond Burke, Cardinal Seurat has talked about the dangers of what's happening in the West, and many other prelates. So some shepherds are speaking up. These are grave and real dangers, and we're hearing it right in the words from heaven, Daniel.
Yeah. And the quote itself is not completely coming to me now, but Scripture admonishes that those who dwell in darkness despise the light. That tells us that if the light is not even allowed to be shined on something, what are those who are rebelling against it trying to hide? So even if there's so much confusion that it's sometimes difficult to come to clear conclusions to some of these questions, the mere fact that some despise the light itself, that speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, St. John said, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. But people like to hide evil in darkness. And I'm sorry to say it, but there are people in the church, clergy, who are complicit with shutting down the dialogue. And I think that is a danger that we're hearing from heaven. You know, in this same message from Luz de Maria, our Lord says, "My beloved people, I will shorten the days for love of my mother and her constant petitions. Do not be deceived," he says, "by dates," people trying to set dates and so on. I think this is important because a lot of people think, the warning might be in 2 months. It may not be for 2 years. It could maybe be even 2 decades. I don't think so. But for people who are banking on just folding their arms, as it says in another message this week, I think to Pedro Regis, "Don't fold your arms," Our Lady said. "Don't wait. We have to be speaking the truth." And I we left off the last show, Daniel, talking to fathers. It's about time men stop being cowards. Do you know at the end of the book of Revelation, it warns that sorcerers, adulterers, and murderers, and cowards will not have a share in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that an interesting choice
of
words?
That's always stuck with me. Yeah. These crazy sins, sorcerers and idolaters, and then cowards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are not allowed to be cowards. That we above all, I shouldn't say above all, we must have love, of course, but we must be courageous in these days because the times demand courage, and lukewarmness is not going to get you through what's coming. And one of the aspects of that courage is setting your face like flint to stay the course no matter what. You can't say, "All right, I can do this for another 2 months because the warning will come by then. I can do this for another 4 months." No, you can't put a number on it. It needs to be absolute. You need to give your fiat completely, absolutely, holding nothing back. And hopefully, God will intervene very soon. I think he will, but I don't know. I don't know exactly when these things will come. Neither do any of us. It's up to him to decide. So we need to remain faithful and commit to remain faithful no matter what. No matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes.
Speaking of remaining faithful, Daniel, here's another theme that has emerged again this week from Pedro Regis. It'll be familiar to those of you who follow his messages, and this is dovetailing what Daniel just said about being faithful. Our Lady says, "Live out the gospel of my Jesus and also the teachings of the true magisterium of his church. Difficult times will come, and only those who pray will be able to bear the weight of the cross. Do not fold your arms. The enemies will act to confuse you and lead you away from the truth." This comment by Our Lady about remaining faithful to the teachings of the true magisterium of the church is not only confined to Pedro Regis. We've heard this from Gisela Cardia, April 3rd last year. Again, the term true magisterium of the church. Luz de Maria as well. We hear a message to be firm in faith, not to deny me, Jesus said, to be true, to respect the true magisterium of the church. Someone wrote us this week, Daniel, and said, "What does that mean? What do these words mean, the true magisterium of the church?" Because some asked, and they've written me and said, "Does this mean, you know, not to follow Pope Francis, but to follow Pope Benedict?" So we want to talk about that just for a moment. We better clear that up really
quick. We get questions. We've been getting these questions for a while. There's two ways you could interpret the phrase true magisterium. This doesn't mean, okay, here's the magisterium. Some of it's true, some of it's false. No, that's not what it means. It means because the other way of interpreting that phrase, the valid way of interpreting that phrase, is make sure to stick with what is actually magisterium. as opposed to what sometimes presents itself as magisterium but is not, or is
right.
supposed to be magisterium but is not. And that's the way Our Lady means it.
And we could use just a really, you know, just grab an example out of the thin air, as if the Holy Father comes out and says that Argentina is the greatest soccer team in the world and that all the Catholic faithful should follow it. That's not a magisterial statement. Yeah. No. Yeah, that's yeah. a true magisterium. If it was the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, my football team, yeah, it would be
true magisterium.
But that's not a magisterial statement. So when Our Lady says, follow the true magisterium, she is referring ultimately to what we call sacred tradition. These are the teachings of the faith passed on from Christ that no one, not even a pope, has the authority to change. Pope Benedict and Pope Francis have said that recently, that they are the guarantor of obedience to sacred tradition, but they are not its authors. And so that has to be made clear. The second thing, Daniel, is I want to jump on this. I've been waiting to do this again for months. I've written about this extensively. In fact, I don't think there's anybody who's written any more about defending Pope Francis' pontificate than in the lay world than me. There are others, but I mean, I've gone to great lengths to keep people faithful to the true magisterium. Of course, people know you and I have. We've disagreed with the Holy Father on some of his non-magisterial statements. When he pronounces on science, as he did, he said vaccines are safe. We disagreed with that because we said, well, look, there's other scientists in the world saying they're not safe. So, you know, the Pope, again, his magisterium is confined to faith and morals. But when it comes to the question, this important question of whether or not Pope Benedict is still the Pope. There are many people who are holding this. We're seeing more and more people beginning to promote this, and it's utterly false. And the one who says it's false is Pope Benedict himself. He said on February 26 in 2014, a year after he resigned, he said, there's absolutely no doubt regarding the validity of my resignation from the Petrine ministry. The only condition for the validity of my resignation is the complete freedom of my decision. Speculations regarding its validity are simply absurd. My last and final job, he said, is to support Pope Francis with his pontificate with prayer. Now, he was asked this question again by the wonderful biographer Peter Sewald. And again, whether there was a conspiracy, whether the Pope was blackmailed, and I'm speaking about Benedict XVI again, and Benedict said, that's all complete nonsense. No, it's actually a straightforward matter. No one has tried to blackmail me. If that had been attempted, I would have not gone, since you are not permitted to leave because you're under pressure. So Benedict right here understands that if you're forced out, the next guy is an anti-Pope, even if he's a saint. He would be an anti-pope. And he goes on, he says, it's also not the case that I would have bartered or whatever. So some people have said, well, maybe, you know, Benedict, because of the sexual scandals and because of the financial corruption in the Vatican Bank and so on, that they, you know, he made some deals. No. Here's the Pope saying in his own words, on the contrary, the moment had, thanks be to God, a sense of having overcome the difficulties and a mood of peace. And so here's Pope Benedict saying this, exactly repeating what he said on February 27th, 2013, the eve before he resigned. He said, I no longer bear the power of office for the governance of the church, but in the service of prayer, I remain, so to speak, in the enclosure of St. Peter. And, you know, I've heard people say, Daniel, that the Holy Father, when he's saying this, he's just kind of playing his cards right, because he's just setting up the anti-church. You know what? If that's the case, the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, would be lying to the church, and lying is a grave sin that could be exclude you from heaven. We are a church of martyrs. If Pope Benedict believed that Pope Francis was an illegal pope, I believe he would say so rather than say, I'm giving my support. And since then, we've seen all kinds of videos and pictures of him embracing, warm embrace between him and Francis. So I'm sorry. There is some conspiracies that are conspiracy theory. I hate the terminology. I don't like it. But this is one of them. And I think that Catholics need to let it go and understand that Pope Francis is the Pope. Whether you like his personality or not is beside the point. You know, he's the Pope, period.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, we're emphasizing this because so that you properly understand what heaven means when it emphasizes the need to remain to, faithful to the true magisterium. Because some take that today and they say, okay, that means Pope Francis's magisterium is the false magisterium and everything before it is the true magisterium. No, that is not what heaven means. Because Pope Francis is the Pope, therefore he is capable of presenting true magisterium. Every argument, first of all, we don't have a single cardinal saying that Francis, that his election was invalid. And also every argument that says that Pope Benedict's resignation was invalid just concerns itself with canonical minutia, which itself succumbs to the fallacy of judging the superior by the inferior. The Petrine ministry is the wellspring of all church authority, not canon law. The Pope could snap his fingers and abrogate the entire code of canon law and replace it with a new one in a second. His authority is superior to it. So you can't mine out some detail from canon law and try to judge something that the Pope himself clearly and publicly and formally and explicitly stated and claim to have abrogated what he stated by the standard of something contained somewhere in canon law about renunciations of office. It can't philosophically, logically work that way. And every argument that says that Benedict is still Pope works that way. So they're all fatally flawed. Anyway, I don't want to belabor the point. The point is Pope Francis is the Pope. Yeah. So when he presents magisterium, it's magisterium.
It's magisterium.
But guess what? That doesn't render this a pointless caution that heaven is giving. It's an incredibly important one because there are so many errors today. As Mark said, we have disagreed with a number of things that Pope Francis has said non-magisterially. Just look a few webcasts ago, we very strongly criticized his statements endorsing homosexual civil unions. But we also have the heretical interpretation of Amoris Laetitia running wild today. Most bishops seem to agree with the heretical interpretation that says that unrepentant adulterers can receive communion, which is not in Amoris Laetitia, and it's flatly contradicted by Familiaris Consortio, John Paul II's right. magisterium.
And just
we've
to clarify,
got this notion. Yeah,
I'm sorry. Just to clarify,
jump in.
Too.
No, do jump in. Yeah.
Yeah, what the Pope said was, you know, we need to look at arrangements possibly for civil unions. You know, it was a statement made in a documentary, and so they created all kinds of confusion around the world. You had people like Father James Martin, who has been, you know, as you mentioned in the last webcast, has just been just totally misinterpreting the church's teachings on this. And he was celebrating this, you know, and he's the editor of the American magazine. He's part of the Vatican's communication department.
The most followed priest on social media.
Yeah. So
it's really sad.
This is quite serious, but it's quite serious too. We're not trying to downplay how close the Holy Father's language is to the United Nations. Don't forget the Holy Father through his support behind the Paris Accord, which also in those agreements and in that language is supported reproductive rights and so on. So we need to pray hard for Pope right. Francis right now because there's very concerning things happening with how closely the church is being lined up and how we're just endorsing left and right the program of the United Nations. And maybe this is a good point to bring out the differences we're seeing. You know, Akita, Our Lady of Akita said that you would see cardinal against cardinal, bishop against bishop. And Cardinal Turkson said recently that as for the notion that the Great Reset is about establishing a new world order controlled by the elites, he said such theories on internet sites and are conspiracy theories that used to be attributed to the Illuminati and to the Freemasons. I mean, Daniel, I was stunned to read this. It's as if Cardinal Turkson isn't aware of the statements of so many popes around the world. You've got 8 popes and 17 official documents condemn Freemasonry, over 200 papal condemnations issued by the church, either formally or informally, in less than 300 years. Against Freemasonry that hasn't gone away. The leading bankers in this world and many of the leading philanthropists are part of Freemasonry. It hasn't gone away. So I was shocked to hear that statement. But here you have Cardinal Mueller, the former prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. And he said, the many warnings of totalitarian rule in the 20th century can hardly be discredited as conspiracy theories, since real political developments have proven them right. Remember, folks, communism was hatched by the Freemasons. Many people don't realize this, but Karl Marx, there's one other name that slips me right now, they were on the payroll of the Illuminati, who joined with the Freemasons. So communism and how we're seeing it develop is a direct result of these secret societies. And Cardinal Mueller goes on to say that blind trust in the philanthropic attitude of the leaders of the big foundations and open societies is only possible with a completely naive denial of reality. Good for you, Cardinal Mueller, for standing up.
That's exactly Valeria's message. Yeah.
We're trying to sound this alarm. Absolutely.
Right. Thank God. And we still have shepherds like that. You know, we will never be without shepherds to lead us in the truth. We've got still Cardinal, I just quoted Bishop Strickland. We've got Cardinal Mueller here. We've got Cardinal Seurat. We've got Cardinal Burke. We've got Bishop Schneider. We've got many shepherds sounding the alarm. So God has not left us as orphans. And he hasn't left you with just Dan O'Connor and Mark Mallett either trying to tell you the truth. We're trying to guide you towards the where the truth lies here. But we're not alone in this battle.
It'd be pretty sad if you just had us.
That would be.
We'd be feeling pretty bad.
That would not be good. Yeah, we'd sympathize with you then. So keep listening to what they're saying. They're not done. They're not going to. I have great trust in these churchmen. I don't think that they're going to succumb to fear, and I don't think they're going to capitulate because they will be persecuted for what they're saying. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned to what they're telling us. They're going to have a lot more to say. And stay tuned to what heaven is telling us, because I suspect heaven is going to have a lot more to say as well.
Well, this would be a good point then to maybe end with a message from this week. Oh, by the way, I was just going to say, there was a message last week about the Mark of the Beast. And I don't think I want to go into detail on it here, but suffice it to say, and it can't be repeated, I think, enough, Daniel, that here you have politicians saying that the private sector may enforce the idea you cannot enter into the private sector without a vaccine. That is, you cannot buy and sell without a vaccine. You'll need a vaccine passport. And now there's new technologies to be able to stamp a vaccine on your skin with an invisible ink. And so you look at that picture, and I'm not saying that's the mark of the beast, but what I'm saying is St. John warned that there would be a global beast who would control everything, and that you could not buy and sell without the mark of the beast. Anyway, it's a warning, and I think it's very interesting, Daniel, that after you and I have discussed this in both of our blogs over the last month, suddenly a message came from heaven through one of the writings of Father Gobi about this warning to pay attention now, faithful, about a coming mark of the beast. Well, why don't we close then on a beautiful message that was given to Pedro Regis, and I think this is Our Lady's advice to us, to help us to be proactive in these times, and we need to listen. She keeps saying, doesn't she, Daniel, in these messages, why aren't you listening? You're not listening to me, but I pray that you will listen to this message. She said on February 2nd, dear children, listen to me. I have come from heaven to lead you to the one who is your all. Do not forget, in everything, God first. Do not allow the things of the world to contaminate you. Flee from everything that separates you from my Son, Jesus. Accept my appeals, and above all, live out the gospel of my Jesus. Love and defend the truth. Humanity is walking in spiritual blindness, and my poor children are heading toward a great abyss. The truth will be despised, and what is false will be embraced as the truth. Be attentive. Open your hearts to God's light, and everything will turn out well for you. Onward without fear. This is the message that I give to you today in the name of the Most Holy Trinity. Thank you for having allowed me to gather you here once more. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be